Session number 104 to O, rule 27.
Colonel W.I. Watson, Reel 27. You were visiting Mosul, Colonel.
Yes, that was it. I was trying to find a shotgun with the aid of my our splendid interpreter, who was, as I've said, was an Assyrian. And we got into Mosul eventually, and we went and found the hotel run by our interpreter's brother, and it was supposed to be one of the best hotels in Mosul, but dear me, it was nothing that one would have considered of any importance in this country. In fact, Mosul itself didn't cater at all for the Europeans. There cannot have been many Europeans ever travelled up there, except perhaps archaeologists. Then, as we were so unsuccessful, we went to the interpreter's hometown of Tel Kaif. Tel is a small, in Arabic, is a small hill, and there was a small hill here near his hometown, which was about 9 miles northeast of Mosul. Incidentally, I thought I would try and tell my mother where I was, and I said in my letter that I had been searching for quinquerines and peacocks and sweet white wine in the hope that she would understand the poem where and therefore Nineveh, where I was functioning, but I don't think I don't think it went in. However, that's what I tried to do, but we weren't allowed, of course, to say where we were. Anyhow, we went, he and I went up to Tel Kaif, about 9 miles northeast of Mosul, and it was his hometown, and the inhabitants were of the Shebek Christian tribe, and the difference between those people and the ordinary Iraqi village was difference as chalk and cheese. I went into one house. There wasn't much furniture in it, but it was spotlessly clean. It had the most lovely clean carpet on the floor, and a clean, lovely clean bed, which I wouldn't have minded getting into. And the houses too were mostly two-story and built of stone, and the women folk were not shy. They were unveiled, and there was a telephone in the village, and there were shops with you could buy a sweet, and you could even buy a pencil, I remember, and there was a school and a police station, and there was a church and a priest who was obviously fairly well educated and very forthcoming. The women folk were dressed in their lovely dresses, and they all had belts with rather nice silver buckles. It was a fruitless search. I wasn't able to find a gun. There was one gun I thought I might get, but the police were slightly awkward, and I didn't continue the search. Needless to say, my good interpreter hadn't been there for years, and of course he got the most wonderful reception. Everybody came out, and I had to stand somewhat in the background. But they were all extraordinarily nice. And they were Syrians. And we said goodbye and we started our journey back. I think it was a village called something like Beitala on the way back. And again, there was a church. It was an obviously a Christian village. And there was a rather steep, severe bend in the road in the village. And the corner was lit by oil lamps, which was the sort of thing unheard of in any Iraqi village. And it really was a very enjoyable, interesting day. As I say, I only wish I knew more about the history of that part of the world, the biblical history, because the CEO subsequently said to me, had my company found any brass axe heads, as the sappers had, who were helping us, had, and I hadn't, but they were obviously leftovers, you might say, from when Alexander the Great was chasing Darius back into Persia. I think I've mentioned that I believe he had his baggage train caught up on the very spot where we were digging our positions. Anyhow, that's besides the point. And we spent the next day digging, and another. We got a very wet day at the beginning of December, and we were issued with 56, the company was issued with 56 pounds of charcoal to last us a week. Well, 56 pounds, if you look at it, would last you perhaps a day, the whole company a day. But that was our issue of charcoal. And we, think about the 10th or 11th of December, we were issued with our first rum ration, which continued, because it really was a life we were beginning to get very, very unpleasant.
Was that a daily ration, Colonel? Daily ration of rum, did you get?
Yes, nightly. Comes our major, quartermaster sergeant would come round with an officer and issue it and see that every man got his ration.
How did you keep warm if the charcoal ran out so quickly?
You couldn't.
You just had no heating?
You had no heating at all.
What about the cookhouse?
Well, there was a cookhouse, but it was it couldn't do anything. It couldn't heat the tents up. It merely had the stoves in a slit trench. They weren't the old-fashioned Sawyer stove, which would burn wood on or coal on. They were, what do you call it, with flame in a channel, and you had the various hot ovens on the top, and you hotted up your Dixies.
And what did you use for fuel? Was it
petrol, or oil? Petrol, I think. I suppose they were. We did have a minor excitement. I think I said before we'd only one shot fired into this camp, but we didn't. On one occasion, we did have one or two shots fired into the camp. I think the Kurds were trying to shoot jackals or something like that. Anyhow, we sent, my company sent out the sort of standing patrol under an officer to search the countryside in the dark with, as best they could, to see what was going on, but it was absolutely quiet, and I think probably they were just shooting at jackals or hyenas. The weather began to get worse and worse, and it got so wet that the whole camp was running with water, And so we had to do a lot of sort of drainage to the camp. And, of course, it was impossible to go and dig. The water was unfit, any water was quite unfit to use. So we had to go to all the way to Erbil for it. Each company had a water truck. And we had to go to Erbil and to get really decent water. Of course, it was all purified in the truck. There was the wherewithal to purify it. Then I was able to acquire a gun, and which I subsequently used, the single barrel gun. I can't remember now where I got it from, but I managed to get a single barrel gun, and thereafter I enjoyed myself going down to Eskikerik, down the road to winding road down the escarpment to Eskikerik, and then walking up the Great Zab River on many occasions. On Christmas Eve, it poured, but happily the tents remained dry. And on Christmas Day, or the day before, Tim Chamberlain went out around the countryside and scoured the countryside and acquired 16 turkeys. He really made a blob and got into awful trouble because he kept four back for the officers' mess, and which he shouldn't have done. And fire and brimstone was the result from the CO. And we got these 17 parcels from the Indian, from India, from the ladies of India, they had plum puddings in. The RASG said they would have plum puddings, but they failed to turn up until the very last moment. I think on Christmas Day their plum puddings did turn up. And their plum puddings with the ladies of India's plum puddings enabled every man to have a bite of plum pudding, and they all had a bite of turkey, in addition to the ordinary rations which were brought in, and incidentally which all came from India. And every man was given a trip to Mosul, a day's trip to Mosul on the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th and 26th. Everybody could go to Mosul. Now, the chaps sat at tables. The tables were sandbags and planks. Now, this was the only time the tables were ever used for a meal. I don't think we had tables in Cyprus or Palestine, and we certainly had no tables in Iraq. So every man, when he had a meal, had to sit on the ground, or if it was too wet, go into his tent for his meal. But on Christmas Day, we had sandbags and planks, and they could sit on plank seats made of sandbags and planks. It's the only time we sat at tables, and I think it was probably the only time we sat at tables when we even got in a month or so later into the Western Desert. But this was done with the aid of the Royal Engineers. But it's subsequently, I think just as the meal was ending, the rain poured down. And so the chaps all went back to their tents and lay there or sat there, sucking sweets. The parcels from India contain enormous quantities of sweets, so the chaps all sat sucking sweets or smoking cigarettes for the rest of the day till it got dark. I went to Mosul again with, I think, Mike Lockhart, who was the MTO, on Boxing Day. And I really wanted to wander around the town, but I was misled. And I went to the cinema with Mike, a typical Iraqi cinema. Of course, one couldn't understand a word that was said or read, or you could read on the cinema, on the film. But we did go and have a meal at the Iraqi State Railways Rest House, of all places. And we had soup, a fish cake, which was really, we called it a fish bone cake, a turkey and veg, stewed prunes, and figs. And then we returned home. And then the next day was a rest day. And I went out for most of the day, if I remember right there, to try and get a gazelle. Gazelle were all over the place. And I was subsequently told by the chief of police in Mosul that there were two kinds of gazelle. The gazelle that lived right out in the blue, out in the sort of desert area, and the gazelle that lived rather on the edge of the cultivated areas. Anyhow, I didn't know which was which, and I spent the day out trying to get a gazelle with Parkinson, my driver, Corporal Gibson, my well-known sanitary corporal, he became, and came from like Parkinson came from Barnet Castle, and Dando, my servant, to try and get a gazelle to supplement the rations. Now, incidentally, before I forget, the 8th Battalion Christmas dinner, they got five wild pig, and they had wild pork throughout the battalion. And I think they poached those pigs in what I call my preserve up the Great Slab River on our side of the river. I think they'd got them from somewhere there. But they had wild pig, and they didn't bother about turkey. They had wild pig for the whole, and very good it was, so the CO told me.
Can I ask you about Christmas Eve? Was there any carol singing or any services on Christmas Day?
Oh, no, you couldn't. It was impossible to have any services. I don't think I may have gone to church. I can't remember. Yes, the Christmas Eve, we had the Royal Engineers had a little band, and they played carols, and they had a bonfire. But it was so wet and so bitterly cold. There was a naffy tent there, I think, but nobody could stand round the bonfire. At least I didn't. I know I came back feeling very homesick and went back to my tent, and as most of the others did.
That meant homesickness was very much...
Well, it was our... just think of the place where we were. Absolutely... more or less abandoned under India command, and in this appallingly cold place. Either it rained or it snowed, and everything was always soaked or frozen.
What about health? Was there much illness?
Well,
was there much illness?
No. There was a certain amount of... it began to creep in lice, because we never had a bath. The chap never had a bath.
And how did you combat the lice? How did you combat the lice coming?
Well, the MO, you had the, you inspected all your traps as best you could. Oh, yes. But you've got to imagine a countryside like Salisbury Plain without a tree anywhere, and the rain just swept across it. And the only really attractive sight one saw, if you look down onto the Great Zab River, were when we arrived, the willows and the brambles and the scrub and the bamboos all turning autumnal colour. That's the only really attractive sight.
How did you cope with such problems as washing and shaving? And
well, I'm going to read to you in a minute just two short extracts out of my diary, because that puts it in exactly what you asked, puts it in a nutshell. When it really, the real cold weather started at the beginning, for 10 days at the beginning of the new year. And by gum, it was cold when you live in a tent. This is an expedition, you might say, which never mentioned in history books that we were going to help the Russians in the Caucasus to prevent the Germans breaking through. We were now preparing for the breakthrough on the lines of communication which the Russians would have, or the Germans would have used had they broken through. See, there were 9 Russian divisions and 2 Imperial ones, and we're going to try and stop the breakthrough, Tiflis, but then the Russians said they didn't want us. So we started on the lines of communication, defending them in case there was a breakthrough. They'd have come through into Persia, and then into Persia through what was known as the Randitz Gorge, which was only no distance from us, into Persia. And of course we were sent at this appalling time of the year.
Which field company of the Royal Engineers did you have, do you recall?
The what?
Which field company of the Royal Engineers were with you?
There was a company of Royal Engineers, and we had some gunners. The Royal Engineers helped us, of course. They had to provide in our digging on 2 occasions certain compressors. Of course, the ground was so hard. And they provided the compressors and they helped us with the digging and the wiring, of course. We had to wire all these places in with barbed wire.
And this would all have to be brought to you?
Oh, yes, yes. The sappers had a big store there, It's on the other side of the road. But all the time at night, when we were sleeping at night, you could hear the camel trains going through. There was a tinkling of bells and all the things padding their way through the tents. There was a track right through the tents. They were told to try and keep to the road, but they'd done it for thousands of years, so why should they go on the road? They travel this way. We interfered, well, it was just too bad. You must accept the camels going through. And you could hear them tinkling away as the camel trains went through. Anyhow, on the 27th of the day after Boxing Day, I went out to try and supplement the rations with the gazelle. But it was rather fun. We spent the whole day out there, and that was the day Gibson shot a gazelle. We didn't shoot a gazelle, but shot at a gazelle, and he hit the ground just below it, and it galloped off, and he started to chase it, and I said, well, it'll be at Balmer Castle before you ever catch up with it. And strangely, he did that. And I shot at one too, and my shot passed clean between its horns at another gazelle. But they were all over the countryside. And I think I'm right in saying the intelligence section were sent out to stalk them, and they didn't qualify unless they'd hit one and brought one in for the supplement the rations. That was the great thing, was to get them in and supplement the rations. Now, at the end of the month, the end of December, I went down to my happy hunting ground down by the river, and I met the chief constable of Mosul, who was a man called Colley, who'd been left over from the First World War. He was an Englishman, and he was shooting pig, trying to get pig, and for, I think, the Christians, the poor Christians in Mosul. And he'd got four, and he gave us two. And headquarter company had, I think I had a bite of them, two for the, again, for the rations. And again, I went down the next day, and he was there again at it. So there must have been a lot of pig about. In fact, I'm sure there were. And I think he got rather annoyed that we were upsetting his fun. But he was very nice, very, very pleasant chap. I can't remember when I went to Mosul and when I got it, but I asked him if he could get me a rug of some sort, a local rug, to put by my bedside in my tent. And he said he would. He subsequently came back. He subsequently came to the camp. It may have been then he told me, but I cannot remember, but I went to Mosul to collect this rug, a goat hair, and which had been made in the prison at Mosul. And I remember a policeman brought it out of the police headquarters to put in my car, and I was going to tip him. I forgot that he was a policeman. And anyhow, I thought he'd be only too pleased if he was an Iraqi policeman to take a tip. But he said, "I am a policeman and I don't accept tips," which I thought, well, today anyhow, I don't think you'd find an Iraqi policeman who wouldn't fall for a tip. But that one didn't. And that rug is still in my bedroom to this day. It's white goat hair, or off-white goat hair rug.